Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Booze Witches. It's Kat and Jasmine.
Hey guys.
And this week we're going to kind of talk about, we're talking a little bit about women empowerment. We're talking a little bit about, you know, Black women in the media. So specifically Cardi and Meg Thee Stallion, who released WAP, which is honestly, it should, as far as I'm concerned, it should be our national anthem. So why don't we get into that, since that's what's going on right now?
Yeah, women empowerment is such a big topic right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it everywhere. You see people talking about it online. You hear people singing about it or rapping about it in songs, on reality TV. You're seeing so many women say, I'm all about women empowerment. I support women. But then we have, Cardi and Meg Thee Stallion, who come out with a song, and it's about, like, you know, embracing your sexuality and being proud of your sexuality, whether that be too vulgar for you or not. But because men are always talking about our bodies anyways, but you have two women doing it. And then I just see so many women talking about how disgusting this is, and they're gross, and how they're bad role models.
Which women are those that are saying all that? Are they all conservative women, I'm assuming?
It was pretty much, I saw it a lot amongst conservative women, especially politicians. A lot of conservative women who could actually, you know, get something from listening to these women to teach them about embracing their bodies and their sexuality a little bit more. You don't have to do it to the degree or level they are doing it. But I think, you know, as women in this society, we're already taught that, you know, our bodies aren't ours. They belong to, you know, whoever we're going to marry, and our, you know, sexual desires and stuff aren't important, and we shouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And even when we have sex, it's more so supposed to be about, you know, the male orgasm as opposed to ours. You see it in porn. Everything's from the male gaze.
Yeah.
So it's not, I think also, especially if you are a conservative or you call yourself a prude, this is making women that have, you know, are so disconnected from their sexualities uncomfortable. And so they're laughing out about it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about that. And let's talk about the fact that, you know, I feel like, well, I do want to talk about as well that Black women in general are dominating the rap game. And like you said earlier, like a lot of times it's men either rapping about, you know, women's bodies, or in any genre of music, but rap obviously more so. But the fact that I feel that Black women have truly taken back the rap genre is pretty iconic and pretty powerful in itself. And I feel like with this song that really solidified it too. I mean, we're seeing all kinds of like female rappers now. We're seeing Sweetie, we're seeing, you know, Meg rise up. We're seeing, I mean, Cardi put a bunch of like incredible women of color in her video. So I feel like that's also pretty iconic and pretty indicative of like where the rap genre is heading. You know, fucking Lil Kim paved the way, but like this is like really solidifying the fact that the Black women are like owning rap right now, and it's really fucking important, I think, especially in the scheme of everything that's going on right now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I when people always have the argument too of like these people are like bad role models, it's like, you know, you're supposed to be the role model to your goddamn kid.
Right.
Okay. No, it's nobody else's responsibility.
Right.
And when you have conversations with people, like, I mean, with honest conversations with your kids and stuff, then they're going to be well-rounded human beings anyways.
Like, right.
And you can monitor. Yeah. Maybe this music isn't for your fucking 5-year-old. Okay. Or your 10-year-old. Sure. Okay, that's fine. But, you know, it just cracks me up how like women are so like, I support women unless they, you know, it has to do with their sexuality and them embracing it.
Yeah.
Because you even see that in like, obviously the sex industry, like it's like a woman cannot choose to be a sex worker. This is the problem we have with the sex industry, is that the people outside of it, they basically lump sex workers in with trafficking,
right,
and they're completely separate. people that the adult industry is very small. It's run a certain way. There are there are a lot of lawyers involved. You got to do a whole lot of things to get in and be a participant. A lot of the people who are the top people, they're actually not even people that drink a lot, or so they're very about their business, and they enjoy having sex and they enjoy what they do. But it's so hard for society to, I think it's hard for society to accept that because it changes the narrative. Like, women enjoying sex? Like, yes. Yes. Women enjoy sex. And if that's what you want to do, then we should be supportive. It's not just women empowerment means being supportive of all women doing, especially if it's not something that's harming anybody. And it's something that they're choosing to do.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a problem. Everybody's different. Everybody. And the reason I, for one, have some knowledge on this is because I'm a consultant and I have clients in the adult industry. So I have some knowledge on this because I do know some performers, but I just think the stigma of like lumping trafficking workers into, and I get it. I did see somebody post like, oh, on certain tube sites, there's been an issue of certain trafficking victims being, because maybe there are adults and they've been in it since they were kids and then they become adults and like they're forcing them to sign off and then maybe their stuff is uploaded to tube sites. Like that's,
and it's not like properly vetted. Yeah. Like that's a separate issue.
Yes, it is. It has nothing to do. Certain people are like, well, see, this is the, it's like, no, that has, they're two completely separate things.
Right? Yeah. People need to stop thinking that all sex work is forced upon people and that a lot of women and, you know, trans women and whoever are like thriving in what they do. And that's why we need to, like you said, we need to look at things a little bit differently and stop lumping all sex workers into one box, you know, like stop, like it's not a monolith. Like, what are we doing here? You know? But yeah, that definitely ties into empowerment because I feel that, you know, if you want to be a stripper and you're thriving as a stripper, be a fucking stripper. Like it's not, if you want to be a porn star, be a porn star. Like they're, yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, and like with Cardi, like tying it back to that, it's like, she has always been pro stripper because she was one and she's not afraid of saying that she was. And even if she was like going through some hard times and became a stripper, she fucking loved it. And she talks about how much she loved it. And that's really important to see too. And I feel like it ties back into like talking to your kids about stuff like that, because if your kids are constantly seeing, you know, women and sexuality through the male gaze, then they're going to assume that it's only from that perspective. And oh my God, an empowered woman is something to be afraid of, you know? Yeah. So I feel like, don't tell your kids about the lyrics, but like talk to them about how, you know, women should be empowered and women should be able to choose and should be able to thrive in sex work if they want. And like you said, maybe it's not appropriate to talk to a 5-year-old about that, but honestly, like,
but you're fine.
Better than through the male perspective.
Yeah. And of course, yes, this person's in the media, but you know, I get that, but you're the parent, you have the conversations, you can
send
yourself. So
exactly.
And do that. It's just like we are rating our movies. We got a lot of shit that, you know, like, so, you know, that's up to you to do. Everybody's not here worried about being a role model to your child.
Right. They're doing their own thing and they're owning their sexuality. Yeah. And we should be applauding people for that, not shaming them.
Yeah. Cause it's just been too long. Like I read something that was, I think it might've been in the 60s, and it was something that this church handed out in Europe to their, I think it was maybe a Catholic church or something like that. Or maybe it wasn't. I'm not sure. I don't know who they were, which like religion they were, but I just know it was a church. And for the girls, they gave out that we're turning 18 and we're going to be thinking about marriage. They gave them this pamphlet and it was like basically talking about how your body belongs to your husband and you need to work. You know, sex isn't about you. It's about making them feel good and give them after they release, give them one moan afterwards to let them know that you're happy with it too. And like,
oh my God,
saying, like, don't roll your hair. If you have to put rollers in your hair, take your makeup off. See if your husband wants sex first so that you can put him to sleep and then do that so he doesn't have to see you that way, and set the alarm early so you can put your face back on and take the rollers
off. Oh, dear Lord.
It was just so ridiculous. I was like, wow.
That is so extra.
I was just like, but this is the stuff. I mean, it's not shocking to hear. That's why I said women have been they've been taught for so many years to suppress their sexuality, and like certain like parts of the world, America being one of them, that it's not shocking that they're so bothered by two women really embracing their sexuality, especially two Black women. I'm sure they're probably just like, oh my God, this is disgusting. These are probably women that have never probably looked at their vaginas either. They probably don't even know what it looks like. They're probably like, what is that? I don't even know. I've never seen it. I'm 55. Like, okay. So,
I mean, that's wild to me. I feel like you should just be doing that from like a health standard. Like, you should probably just know what's going on down there. Like,
but people are like, I can't even tell. I know people that don't even masturbate. Like, they're just like, oh my God, I don't know. I don't do that. And I'm just like, wow. I'm like, get home now, leave me and go take care of yourself, please.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't, that's okay. But, you know, don't shame others for owning what they want
to
own.
No, but I feel like it's important to masturbate. How are you?
Oh, it absolutely is. It's good for your health.
How are you having, or how are you even, especially if you're having sex with somebody else, how are you okay with having sex with somebody else, but not with yourself? This is your, you should love your, so that's what I mean. When it's one thing if you don't really have a sex drive and you're just like, just don't really have a sex drive.
Yeah.
But the people that are ashamed of it and like, oh no, I don't do that. No, why would I want to touch? No, like I'm comfortable with it. I'm like, but you're going to let another person touch you? You need to really know your body and be comfortable with it.
Yeah. So, and know what you want and what you like. And that's really just important, not only for your health, but yeah, for your health and relationships as well. And for having a healthy relationship.
Yeah,
if we that's true. Encourage
masturbation more, there'd probably be less promiscuity too, because we make it seem like, you had to get yourself off, especially with amongst men, you know, like, oh, you couldn't find nobody to fuck that night. Like, it's just fucking stupid. Like, I know so many men that think it's uncool to masturbate. It's like absolutely ridiculous, and I have to have long conversations with them about how silly that is and how like brainwashed they are about the situation.
Yeah,
like it's your body. Like, you can't touch your own body. Like, you
or men that like, men that are just threatened by that, or by like vibrators.
Oh my God! Don't.
I mean, that's not, just like toxic masculinity at its best.
Yeah, if you're,
or at its worst.
If you're weird about a vibrator, we are not dating.
That's yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. And that's it. That's a word of advice to it. To nice all our listeners out there.
Friend zoned.
But. I mean, I just want to talk about the video itself for a second, just because I'm so obsessed with just the imagery, the aesthetic, obviously, just two bad bitches in their power dancing. They've got their tits out, their ass out. Like, I'm just all for it. Like I said, this song should be the national anthem. Cardi and Meg are my co-presidents. Just like the images of like the water fountain in the beginning, you know, the statues of like an ass and tits with like water coming out of them. I'm like, just that kind of imagery is so important to, if you say that you empower females and stuff, like, I don't know. I just love the imagery of all of it. It was,
you know,
just
what I will point out too, that about the imagery, one thing that I did connect was they were both dressed in like animal prints. So they were in their animalistic.
Yes.
And to me, I want to remind women that yes, you do have a sexual nature too. It's animalist. We do have that.
Yeah.
We do have that's why women used to go crazy back in the day. Remember the problem without a name, and they kept trying to like electric shock women.
Cause they'd say it was hysteria.
We weren't having orgasms. People were like, they didn't even realize why they were upset. They were like, I'm upset. I'm not in a good mood. Yeah.
I actually love that connection, and love that you pointed that out with the cheetahs and, you know, the leopard and everything and the tigers. Yeah. It's absolutely that. And that's a perfect connection to make too.
Yeah. Cause we have those, we have those feelings too. And it's okay to feel that. There, don't let, Don't be shamed. That doesn't mean you're, you know, that doesn't make you, I feel like some women are so scared to even embrace that because they're scared they're not going to be, they're not going to like be looked at as a good girl and nobody's going to want to marry them. Like, let me, when you stand in your truth and you embrace all sides of yourself, you're going to find somebody that loves and respects you. When you have to pretend and act a certain way, and if that lures a guy in and you marry him, trust me, you're going to have to pretend and act that whole fucking marriage and you're going to get exhausted. Okay. You're not going to be satisfied.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's something, I mean, if you're, you know, it ties in with self-love, I feel too. And about, you're talking about, you know, everybody should masturbate and everybody should be proud of it. It totally ties in with self-love. And I feel like, you know, if you're not empowering other women and their sexuality or uplifting them or uplifting your own self, like, how are you loving yourself? How are you, it ties in with self-care. I mean, I think that's what I meant as well. Self-care, everybody thinks is spas and this and that and facials. But no, it's actually like really, truly allowing yourself to be yourself. And they have touched on that with this song, with owning their sexuality. When you brought up the animalistic thing, I thought of, you know, there's that one scene where they have the snakes crawling all over them, right? In Christianity, obviously snakes are seen as deceitful and, you know, the snake is like really manipulative, but like in other cultures, snakes are like all about actually like rebirth and renewal and fertility and like owning that power. Like snakes are fucking powerful. So I kind of love all these like tie-ins with the animal imagery too. It's very, I don't know, it's just all connected. And I know this, a lot of this was Cardi's vision. So I just think she's a creative fucking genius.
Yeah, I really did love the video. And I hope like women just start to step into their sexuality, and it's okay to be sexy. I've never had a problem with stepping into my, like, that type of sexual energy, like being sexy and stuff like that. It's always been something that I've been, I kind of feel it and I go with it. And I've gotten a lot of shame. I got a lot of like shit from other people, and I don't give a fuck. I know it's their issue and not mine. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And I also know it's the patriarch telling them women shouldn't be like that. Cause I get it from men and women sometimes.
It's absolutely the patriarchy. No question.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to keep standing in this body that I have, the way that I stand in it, because I want to encourage other women to stand in it too, and to feel good about themselves. And no, you're not just there to be a body during sex, you know, a cold body. I mean, just a warm body laying there.
Yeah.
No, it's about you too. Get in your power, get into your animalistic power. People like to say like, oh, we're so above it. We're closely related to animals in so many ways. Like, yeah, maybe our brains are more evolved. But I was just at this, my last check's house, and she has two cats, and one of them is not fixed. And she got a young cat. She needs to get it fixed. She was like, I'm going to get it fixed. I go to her every month, and I always seem to go when she's in heat. Like, because it's monthly, and she is just it's like 10 in the morning and she won't let up. She's just walking around like, meow, meow, like going nuts. And I'm like, to me, I'm like, wow. Like, I'm like because she was like, the vet that she was talking to, they were like, do not, like, I know it's annoying, but do not punish them, spray water at them or any when they do that, because this is like their body telling them to do that. You know, she's craving to procreate. She's craving to, like, you know, have sex and so she can procreate, and that's what our body's telling her to do, and she's feeling it. And women, you can feel that too. Like, you should not, like, I feel so bad for every woman that has had a baby before she's had an orgasm. Don't be giving these men no babies without having your orgasm. Get your orgasm, have it be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Sex is one of the few ways we can experience heaven on earth, okay? So get into it. It is.
Those are all great points though. And I fully agree with you, obviously. I was kind of thinking too, when you were talking about like how you own your sexuality and, you know, you dress a certain way and maybe people are threatened by that, kind of tied that into your Leo Venus as well. Cause I feel the same. I feel like also when we own and express our, you know, creativity, sexuality, whatever, through the way we dress, I feel like that's really important. And both of us obviously have Venus and Leo. And there's that like animal connection again, that like Leo energy, that like being proud of how we look and being proud of our bodies, however they look. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of wearing whatever the fuck we want, like whenever we want, you know, as long as it, you know, it's comfortable, but it's also what we're comfortable in and what we're comfortable having other people see and what, you know, how we want to present ourselves to the world is like, that's definitely some Leo Venus shit, but I definitely connected that, like how you put that. And I feel like as we continue to like speak our truth, we also have to dress a certain way, because I feel like that's also like putting out a vibe, putting out some energy to the universe, saying like, we are owning our power through the way that we dress, and the universe will respond accordingly. So if you always dress like, and it's okay, it's, you know, we've been in quarantine for how long, but it's okay if you want to wear leggings and you want to wear fucking sweatpants all day, who gives a fuck? Like, if that's what you're comfortable in, that's great. But like, also signal to the universe that you give a shit, in the sense that you wear what you want to wear when you want to wear it. And like I said, if that's sweatpants, if it's not sweatpants, if it's a bra, no bra, if it's a whole fucking ball gown, great. But to me, I feel like, you know, there's a certain energy in putting an effort to the way you dress. But again, that could be my Leo Venus talking, but I do feel that, you know, it'll come off a certain way. And I think that's all right, you know, and if it doesn't, that's okay too.
I like what you just said there about like tell the universe you give a fuck. I think the important thing here is like, when you think about that, is like, get used to getting dressed up and getting beautiful and getting sexy for your fucking self.
For yourself. Exactly.
For you. Like, yes, I'm pretty bummy at times too.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a fucking legging? Who doesn't love a sweatpants?
Yeah, I'm like that a lot of the times. But you know what?
Yeah.
Some mornings, like this, I mean, sometimes I'm forced to do stuff because today I had a conference call, video conference call. So I had to like do my makeup and stuff. But some mornings after I work out, I shower and I make myself look nice, even though I don't have anywhere to go. And even at night, I'm going to be here. Like, I live by myself right now and I'm not dating anybody. I get out of the shower. I always have like nice lotions, nice certain like body washes that I'll use at night when I want to relax. And nobody's coming. Stop doing it just because so-and-so is coming over.
Yeah. Do it for yourself.
Put on your perfume for yourself. Okay? Yeah. For you.
That's, I think that ties into patriarchy as well. Like, where we're always doing things to impress other people or impress the person we're dating or impress our crush or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Like, do that shit for yourself. It's so empowering. It'll make you feel better. Even if you're in your sweatpants and you decide to put on a fucking necklace. Okay. Do that.
Yeah,
like,
do it.
Honestly.
Do it.
Or don't. Like, I don't care. But but it will, you know, it's again, it's signaling to the universe you're putting yourself out there, even if you're still at home, even if you're in sweatpants. You know, it's just taking care of yourself first, I guess.
Yeah, taking care of yourself first. I like that. It's important to have that in mind, because people only want to, I mean, I've been guilty of it too. Like, I'm in the process of redecorating. I've never really have decorated a place unless I've lived with a significant other or a friend. Mm-hmm. I've never cared to. And I was just like, why are you only care to do this when you're with somebody else? You should make your place homely, even if it's just you. And it took me a while to do that, but it just clicked to me. And I'm like, no, switch this. I realized that was me not caring about myself. Why am I only doing this when it's somebody else is involved? Am I trying to impress them? Like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah,
no, do exactly. This shit for yourself. Like,
yeah, you're honoring yourself. You know? Yeah, because you're making your home the sacred place that, you know, is kind of this, it's your fucking home. Like, you know, it's sacred. It's where you have all your things. You know, you want to look at a really nice photo on the wall. So put up that photo on the wall. Why is it sitting in storage? You know, like create your own vibe, where you feel safe, where you feel comfortable, where it makes you feel good to look at your wall or to look at your, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, I love that. I love that clicked for you too. I love a home decor moment, and I fucking love Home Goods, and you guys, I miss Home Goods. I miss going and walking around Home Goods.
Home Goods. I know, I haven't been there either. There's certain stores I'm just not even fucking with right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain stores I feel like in a pandemic, I don't know if I really want to go walk around and be indoors for that long. Cause I don't know, it just feels weird. But so we talked about Cardi and Meg. Yeah. I feel like we're going to do a bit of a pivot here, and I don't know how to, I usually have really great segues, but like really natural segues, but I feel like I don't for this one. Should we talk about
harsh? Just get into it harshly.
I don't know. I really pride myself in having a great natural segue.
Just give it to him hard. Just take that sharp right.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about the mafia. There's your sharp right turn, everybody.
big jump, kind of. I mean. The reason why this came up is because, I don't know if, any of you listeners have watched this. Me and Kat have not watched it yet, but we're
on our radar.
To watch this, and it's called Fear City. It's on Netflix. And one of the reasons that we wanted to bring this up is because this documentary is one that's not glorifying the mob. And I feel like society glorifies the mob. The mob is a gang. We do not call them a gang. And I think it's because they're white men. So yeah. We don't call them a gang. We call them the mob, and their stories are glorified. I mean, people want to be, even the most conservative person thinks the mob is cool. I mean, they're probably in bed with them, so that's probably fine.
I feel like a lot of movies and stuff, literally. You know, show them as like, they have this glamorous lifestyle and, oh, just a little side of violence and bloodshed, don't forget. But it's like, it's always this like, you know, the women are always in great outfits and it's just, it's all so glamorous. And it's fine because it's like, I've always been fascinated with organized crime in that way because I feel like, I'm fascinated by the part of it where they have such a stranglehold on society in that way, in glamorizing their lifestyle. But it's such a huge network of people. It's kind of crazy. And that part fascinates me, how ingrained they are in our society.
Well, yeah, this documentary, because I'm very like, I'm not 100% up to par on this, but I've looked into it a lot, and I've also known that they've like gotten politicians in office, and mm-hmm. that's how they're the reason why certain judges and senators and governors and they're the reason why certain people have buildings in New York. They are the ones that
Trump
give them the money. Trump is one of them. They give them the money, and then they're indebted to them. Mm-hmm. So they've owned New York City at one point. And in a lot of ways, secretly, they still do have their hands in a lot of cookie jars. And yeah. So of course, and especially because they're like white men, they're glamorized because of who they're connected to. Nobody's gonna call them a gang. Nobody's gonna call them bad hombres. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. say it's unsafe or around them. I'm like, let me tell you, these areas of minorities that people are like, don't walk through those neighborhoods. It's way scarier to walk through the Italian neighborhoods. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck y'all are talking about. Like, where the mob is present, or even the Irish like mob gangsters. I've lived on the East Coast. I know.
yeah
and especially for a white person, it's so crazy. I always see this like picture painted of like how scared, like they're always like telling like white people, don't, these are bad neighborhoods, don't walk through there. It is a lot safer for a white person to go walk through Compton than it is a minority to walk through an area of the KKK. So I don't know how this picture got painted. It might be more, it's actually more dangerous for me, a black person, to walk through Compton than it is a white person. They ain't about to hurt nobody white. They're scared of that. They know there'll be backlash. But the picture has been painted that way, and it cracked me up. Like, it's actually more scary for a minority to go through the KKK neighborhood. They won't come out.
Right. That's actually kind of funny the way you put that. But yeah, but I mean, we wanted to bring this up because it kind of ties into, you know, the current uprising that's going on right now, and Black Lives Matter and stuff, because, you know, we criminalize Black gangs. We criminalize, you know, Hispanic gangs. And, you know, obviously organized crime exists within every single race, you know, that's obviously a thing, but the glamorization of the mafia is something that's really interesting and has been around since, I mean, I want to say maybe since JFK and all of that, just because that was when they really got involved in politics and stuff. And of course they were involved before, but I feel like on such a mainstream wide level. But yeah, it's something that I think just needs to be brought up a little bit, because as a society, we demonize the Black gangs and the Bloods and the Crips and everything, but it's like, we're so excited to watch this mafia movie, you know?
Well, yeah, we not only demonize the Bloods and the Crips or Hispanic gangs and all that, but we also send police in those neighborhoods to bully, terrorize. We treat it like a war zone.
Yeah.
And a lot of times gangs come about in those communities is because there's not resources, there's not this and that.
And it's in response to the over-policing as well.
But do you think that there would be a ton of, this is why I like Fair City, the police, if they go into that, the police could not do a thing about these mobsters. They couldn't do anything.
Well, yeah, follow the money, you know, follow the money.
And a lot of them were in bed with them. Mm-hmm. They don't go into the areas where the mob is now, and they're not in those areas terrorizing and doing all that. They're not doing all that shit. But they're doing so. It definitely to me. I mean, I feel like it's obvious that it's glamorized because it's white men. Mm-hmm. Then we have to come up with a non-threatening term for it. Oh, they're the mob. Mm-hmm. No, they're a fucking gang. Mm-hmm. It is a gang. It's a gang. we need to change the rhetoric there, or else we're calling all of them mobs. Okay.
Can we also call the Republicans a gang?
Yes. 100%. Don't even get me started on.
They're the political gang that we all need to worry about the most.
100%.
Go ahead.
But I just, you know, it's really disheartening to see that, because we did see, like, there was a time with the mob that, you know, certain people high up in the mob, obviously, I think it was like the 80s or 90s, they had to take a fall. Like, things had went too far. There were too many killings, too much shit. So the top people had to, like, you know, do the time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, you see it in like movies like Goodfellas and whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But still, it's like, we don't really call them bad guys. Like, I mean, even that movie, like, I don't know, even calling it good. I mean, I get it. They used to call each other good fellas and all this other stuff, but just even calling it that too, like, it's fine if they call themselves in that movie, but the way we just, even the rhetoric we just put around it, it paints a picture. And we just start to think it's cool. And if we meet a mobster, we're like, oh my God, oh, wow. You know what I mean? We want to go into the mob restaurant and sit in there and do all that. We made it like a cool thing, which is disgusting, because they're more violent than any of these other fucking gangs. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of like shit they have done and do and get away with, and the high up killings they have done and all that, I wouldn't be surprised if they were tied into, you know, the Epstein killing, like all that shit. Like,
oh, who knows? I mean, yeah, you can go back to like the JFK assassination and talk about all that, because that's like obviously one of the most widespread conspiracy theories about, or just theories in general about his assassination, is that the mob put a hit out on him.
Oh yeah. I 100% believe that. You know, I don't know why that would have happened. It could have been, you know, he could have actually got a little money from them to start his run, and then was like, oh, let me distance myself. But they don't play around. They'll kill you. It could have been that. Who knows? Because a lot of people were in bed with the fucking mob. And a lot of people got into it not because they were bad people, like getting in bed with them, but they wanted to start a business. They just can't, you know what I mean? They wanted to to like, I don't know, be a politician or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're definitely the wrong people to get associated with. But we make it seem like it's something cool and they're not dangerous and it's not scary. And no, it is.
Yeah.
It's very scary. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're so worried about, you know, oh, gangs, the cartel, gangs over the border. We've got plenty of gangs still in New York City. Just like we saw that biker gang. I saw it on a few months ago. They did a killing broad daylight in New York. They mm-hmm. jumped out of their car and fucking shot somebody with their mask on. Mm-hmm. This biker gang. And it came into the news for a second, then it was gone. I haven't seen anything else about that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, of course. It's been like 3 months and you're not going to.
Was it Hell's Angels?
That's the most notable. I think it might have been. But it was literally bright. It had to be like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Damn.
Like, this is how bold these people still are. Like, and yeah, they're literally just in a popular place in New York. They was just like, it was during COVID, so they were just like, oh, there's not as many people out. So there won't be as many casualties. So now's the time.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. The whole thing is really, and like I said, I've always been fascinated by how fascinated society is and how intertwined they are in our society. And I'm just really, really excited to watch this documentary.
I know. We're probably going to talk more about this once
we watch it.
Yeah, once we watch it.
To watch.
I keep forgetting to watch it because it's not like showing up on my Netflix as or like on my main page. So I'll have to get to that. Maybe I'll get to that this weekend if I have time.
Yeah, and I'm catching up on Summer House right now, so you guys can expect a deep dive on that soon. Since Jasmine's been bugging me to start watching it.
Oh my God, it's so good! I know. There's
I
so
can't
many,
wait.
So many shows that I watch. I make time for my TV, but I also live alone, so it's like my thing to do. Like,
so you have time? Are you always? Yeah. I mean, Jasmine always has her TV running in the background too. Yeah. Even if it's like shows and stuff you've seen before, I kind of love that. You're always in tune.
Watch my shows.
Well, do we want to talk about something that's a little bit, you know, kind of connected to this in that, we not so much glorify, but maybe resonate more with, did you have anything else to add before we do that?
No. Let's transition.
Okay. So I have a better segue this time. But I wanted to talk a little bit about how in the Black Lives Matter movement and when we're discussing police brutality, and this doesn't only just happen with police brutality, obviously, but with the whole Elijah McClain story, I found that when it was really gaining traction, I feel like a lot of people maybe resonated more with his story or maybe pushed his story more or maybe felt the need to talk about how he was shy or how he was sensitive. And, you know, with, say, for example, George Floyd, it was always talking about how he was this big Black man and he had this $20 counterfeit and blah, 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 but didn't talk about the rest of his life. You know, like, we didn't really centered on the violence that actually happened to him. You know, we didn't talk about how with Elijah, how he was the shy boy who played violin and everything. The one thing that bugged me the most was that everybody should have just stopped at the fact that both were murdered by police, period. And that's all you needed to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like when it comes to, unfortunately, when it comes to minorities in society, when something bad happens to them, I feel like the group is, it's almost like what I call the bad apple like ideology that mm-hmm. White supremacy wants to put on minority groups, that they are basically, the group is like kind of judged by like whoever like is considered bad in their group. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, like that's why Black people don't really get sympathy, because they think of Black people as people who are lazy and they do bad things. There's a lot of gang members. They live in the ghetto. They're the hood or whatever. And I feel like George Floyd fit more of that stereotype. So he gets no sympathy.
Right.
A lot of people. But obviously, Elijah didn't fit that stereotype. So I saw more people feeling bad about the situation.
Yeah.
But Black Lives Matters means like all Black Lives Matter. And that's why it came about, is because it doesn't matter what a person's past is. You know, we need to flick our humanity back on. Doesn't matter what people did. Their past does not define them. Mm-hmm. Like, just like I see so many people, like, where these racists are getting canceled and they're like, they made a mistake. Well, this motherfucker made a mistake too in his past.
Yeah, and yeah, he died for it.
Situational. Yeah. And his, and no, we don't even know if he was actually guilty or the person in question, because, you know, when the cops come there, they're not judge and jury. They are there to just read you your rights and take you in, act like you're under suspicion of being a criminal.
But instead the cops do act like they're judge, jury, and the fucking executioner. You know, they take on all of the jobs. And it kind of ties in with white supremacy, because, you know, more people are inclined to feel like, oh, well, I should share Elijah's story because he was this really sweet Black boy. Oh, well, I should be more excited to watch something about the mafia instead of, you know, other gangs. Or it's the same thing with, it's the same thing with, I mean, it all ties in together. I had another point that I was going to make, but it'll come to me. But it all really ties in together. And it's remembering that if you're going to say Black Lives Matter, it's all lives. Like you said, it's the sweet Black boy, and it's also George Floyd, and it's also Breonna, and it's also Sandra. And you know what I mean? Like, stop picking and choosing and cherry picking what you like. Oh, my point was that when people, you said the bad apple thing, when people separate or can't separate the looters from the protesters, well, they just assume that all protesters are looting, and oh my God, let's focus more on the looting because that's so fucking insane and crazy to me.
Yeah.
And let's, or when people make the argument of Blue Lives Matter and say, well, not all cops are bad. Well, not all blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, no, they work for a system that continually oppresses and continually
That's
is the systemic race. Like, you know, like it's, we are going to judge all cops by that because they all work for the same fucking system, period. That's it. So it's that bad apple thing that you're talking about. Like, people just love to cherry pick and pick and choose what fits the mold that they like and that they're comfortable with.
Oh yeah. We're going to say all protesters are looters. But if we say something about a cop, those same people are like, oh, not all cops are bad. Oh, now not all. So they're not going to be judged by their worst people, but you're going to judge the Black community by whoever you think their worst people are. So they're all like,
exactly.
Make it make sense.
Exactly. It doesn't fucking make sense.
Like, I literally cannot, like, Black Lives Matter means all Black Lives Matter. I literally watched, I literally was watching the news because, and I saw this, these three white boys in the South that were going to do late night fishing. I think it was in Florida, and they were all shot to death.
Oh, God. When was this?
I think it was like a month ago or a couple weeks ago.
Jesus.
And I ended up seeing the article on Daily Mail. And so, and I see everybody like, oh my God, I feel so bad for them. And the article is written so nicely. And then I see somebody in the comment section. I always go on the comment section on Daily Mail, even though it's like so such a toxic place to be. It's as bad as any other fucking social platform.
Oh God, but the worst comment section. Down to,
I'm like, let me go in here. But I see somebody go and look these guys up. They all have criminal records. One has three felonies. One is for stealing. One has domestic violence and all that. And he was like, "But this has not been brought up at all." And I was like, "I'm telling you, when it is a minority, they literally just try to destroy their character."
Oh, it's part of the headline.
It reminds me of though the Model Minority Act, which this is why I had this conversation with a friend when she was just like, oh, well, like, I feel like when I date like Asian men, they're always together and they always have this and they always have that. I was like, sweetie, there is a model minority act. There's only certain, you're only allowed to like get a visa or come here for work and stuff if you fit a mold. They're not going to allow the other ones that don't fit that mold to even come over here.
Yeah.
Because as a minority in America, if you do one thing wrong, it will define you for the rest of your life. And it will define your group for the rest of your life. One person does one thing wrong, that's it.
That's white supremacy for you.
Yeah. But as a white person, you can do many of things wrong. There can be different types of white people. It's like you can be nerdy. There can be the lazy group. There can be the redneck, or there can be this. But you have to be a perfect person if you are a minority.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody must shun the one that fucks up, because that, you know, they don't want that bad apple fucking theory following their group.
Right.
So they're like, God, we don't know that motherfucker.
Right.
Not one of us.
That's it's absolutely the basis of white supremacy, and it's, you know, continuing to keep minorities down and oppressed in that way, because, you know, you're looking, it's the bad apple thing, just like you said. But let me bring up again, Elijah, who was, you know, murdered by Aurora, Colorado police. And if everybody, I don't know if everybody remembers that there was that serial killer, or domestic terrorist, whatever you want to call it, that shot up the movie theater also in Aurora, Colorado, a few years back. I don't know if you remember. The movie, it was in the same city.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And yet Aurora police take him in gently. You know, he's seen as mentally ill. He's seen as, problematic. He's seen as, you know, he just didn't get the right, you know, love, or he was just broken. But yet the same police department shot and killed a boy that was just walking home, minding his business. Like, that's just... it's just disgusting. It's just disgusting. But this is our society, and this is how it acts.
Well, and you saying that, I just want to reiterate to the world, and whoever's listening, that minorities have mental illnesses too. Okay.
Yeah. But they're never seen as that.
Yeah. Elijah. When I first saw his story, I just saw his face. I knew, I could just tell that he had some type of mental illness, and he had autism. And autistic people usually don't like to be touched. So it was not shocking that he was freaking out with people touching him and grabbing him. They usually will have anxiety and panic attacks over that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it is a minority, or especially a Black person, there is no room for mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
There's just always aggression and force used right away. But then, you know, and especially to a scene that nobody, you're going in it and somebody's like, oh, I just see somebody in the neighborhood. You don't even know what the issue is. No, but then you see somebody who's murdered a bunch of people, and he's coming out like, yeah, I killed a bunch of people. And you're like, let me dab that blood off your cheek. And get you a nice seat cushion for the back of the cop car. Like, okay. Clearly we have more, we're taught in society to have more empathy for white crimes, and that also like something must not be right if they do it. But, you know, this is normal behavior for minorities, especially like Black and brown people, like Blacks and Hispanics. Oh, this is normal. So we got to be rough on them and throw them around. And, you know, we got to get them 12 years, you know, for something stupid. And we're going to give little Bradley here fucking 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But they did the same thing.
Well, the media is a big issue with that too. Cause like I said earlier, like with Daily Mail, they'll have something in a headline saying, you know, broken mentally ill child or teenager shoots up movie theater versus Elijah McClain, Black man, Black boy shot, you know, like it's like, what? It just doesn't, the media contributes to so much of it too, because we're continually framing white domestic terrorists, which is what they fucking are, as mentally ill and broken, and they lost their way and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's enough. It's enough with that. Enough with that rhetoric. It's not working. It's not working and it's not accurate. So start calling, you know, these white domestic terrorists what the fuck they are.
Yeah. And you know, when I think about it, I love watching crime shows. I'm like, I'm obsessed with it. And the people I see committing the most disgusting crimes are always white men. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but we're not defining the you know, white people by these white men that right. have done mass serial fucking killings
yeah.
of women or whatever. We do not define like white culture or white people by these men, but we will define black and brown people by those people who have done wrong in that are a part of their culture. Where it's like, okay, we're defining. But imagine if we were like, oh yeah, we're gonna Ted Bundy. Yeah, he's associated with y'all. Mm-mm. White men, gotta be careful. Ted Bundy. They're all
instead.
Like, come on.
Exactly. Instead, we have Zac Efron, whoever the fuck, playing Ted Bundy and acting like he was a fucking ladies' man. Like, yes! What?
Really? I know.
That's just fucking disgusting to me. I know. We glorify white serial killers more than anything. And it's so gross. Like, it's, ugh, God.
I know, we make them look, we're like society makes them look good in the public eye too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the fact that how nasty this, how brutal his killings were, and how the police were just literally treating him like he was there to come have dinner with them. Like, no cuffs, no this, special treatment.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this man was killing white women, left and right, brutally.
Yeah. And yeah, we're fascinated by it all.
You basically giving him steak every night, and he had like a fucking pedicure, head massage, whatever he wanted.
I think with the kid that the white guy that shot up the movie theater in Aurora, I think it was him that they like went and took him to Burger King like after he got arrested, so he could have a meal.
Wow, this was the one in the not. This was that guy that shot up the black church.
Oh, is that the one they took to Burger King or whatever? Okay, well, there you go. I mean, there you go. See how they treat them?
They put him in a bulletproof vest when they escorted him out of the church so nobody could, like, shoot at him. And then they brought him to McDonald's.
I mean, come on.
it's mind-boggling. But I think even so, too, I talk about this with a friend of mine. I was like, even what is dangerous in our society is the type of rhetoric we use when we are describing something like pure, holy and stuff, and we say it's white, and then when it's like dark, you know. And I even have to get better about this and find new words, because I catch myself doing it. But then when something's dark or evil or whatever, we say it's black. Mm-hmm. That type of
like white magic or black magic.
Yes.
If we want to tie it back into witchcraft.
Yes. And those type of all ideologies, like, honestly, they, when you learn them, especially because you even see it like when you watch stuff, when you're a kid watching Disney, you see that, like, the person that's always evil, they look like darker, grayer, dark features, you know what I mean?
And the princesses are always white and pure. And
white as snow, pure, that means purity. So it's very dangerous rhetoric to put out there, honestly, to say that black is evil and to demonize the color and then refer to certain groups as that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're already poisoning. Like, I saw a study of like little kids that were shown, it was mainly black kids, but they had some other kids in there, but they were shown dolls and like, which one do you think is the nice doll? And every kid pointed to the white doll. Which one is the bad doll? This one. You know, it was like kids that watch Disney and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They automatically thought the darker one was bad.
Yeah.
And it just shows the effect of like using those. And I want to get better at that too, myself, and not saying that, oh yeah, oh no, that's dark shit. Like, no. We're not, I don't want to say that anymore. I don't want to be using the word saying like black is bad and dark is bad.
Right.
Because I love the night, you know what I mean? And it's not bad. The night is not bad, you know?
Right.
So We've got to do better.
But we're talking about this because we want people to wake up and see like how deeply ingrained this kind of rhetoric is in our society, whether it's, we're talking about the mafia, whether we're talking about, you know, Elijah, whether we're talking about, you know, like we want people to just wake up, and that's why we're here, to like continue to talk about stuff like this. And you know, it's why I think it's so exciting that people like Cardi and Meg are out there owning their sexuality and showing that Black women can own their sexuality and it's okay. You know, like that rhetoric needs to continue. And that's why I think that song and video have been so groundbreaking in that way. Same thing with like Beyonce just came out with that, which I still haven't seen. I've been like so behind on my TV and stuff. Beyonce came out with The Black is King. Even in the title, it's like, you don't see a lot of that where, or like when Black Panther came out, like it's showcasing Black women and men as superheroes, you know, yeah. Beyonce showcasing them as royalty because that's what they are. But yet our media never wants to show that side. You know, they just want to show Black people as in pain or problematic or criminals or what, like it's the media's problem too. Like if you don't think media is a part of white supremacy, then I don't know what to tell you, but, but it is. But that's why it's so important these things are coming out.
Yeah, it's really important to seeing, like, that's why I'm like, I feel like I was talking to a girl and she was just like saying how, like, she's like, I just feel like it's like so uncomfortable to be white right now. And like, she's like, I saw somebody post something, Black Girl Magic. And like, and I'm like, but you just making the comment that you just made, I'm like, well, that's because Black women need to hear that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times, like I was like, even I was talking to her about the Black Disney princess. Mm-hmm. She was the only, not that I think Disney is toxic, period. Mm-hmm. But she was the only princess who wasn't sought after because of her beauty.
Yeah.
Every other one was.
Yeah.
And that is very, you know, it affects a lot of Black women, whether they want to admit it or not. Mm-hmm. They're never looked at as their traits as being like beautiful, like any of their features, I mean. And when I saw that movie, and when I saw that, you know, he wasn't appreciating her for her beauty and she had to chase him. This is the mm-hmm. first Disney princess chasing a dude. That does not happen. And she was the one working hard and doing, I was like, who wrote this bullshit? I was so pissed off when I saw that movie.
Yeah.
And if I have kids, I don't know what I'm going to let them watch. Or they're going to be so annoyed with me because I'm going to be like, we're going to watch this and then we're going to have a 2-hour conversation. They're going to be like, why? Like, because I need you to know who the fuck you are. Like, yeah. But it's very important for Black women to hear that they're, you know, beautiful, and that I even hear from some of my Black friends if I date men that are a different ethnicity of me, like when they make comments like, are you sure he's into you? Because those type of men really don't, they're probably going to want to end up with a white girl. And I'm always like, oh my God. Know it's coming from a place of insecurity. Like men like that, they don't really date us. They, you know what I mean? They feel undesired. And I hate that. I've never felt that way. But I understand why a lot of Black women do feel that way. Mm-hmm. Because of what society puts in their head. And I'm just like, you are sought after. You are beautiful. And I always tell people this, because obviously you're beautiful too. We look completely different. And because I had somebody that was like telling me that, she was like, oh yeah, my boyfriend, I know he watches porn, but I had to check to see what kind he's watching. And it was blue eye blonde hair. If he was watching somebody else, then I would have an issue. And I'm like, sweetie,
wow.
Somebody else's beauty does not take away from yours. Now, if your man is only watching Asian porn, that's it, like all the time, then he's got a little bit of a fetish, and then, you know, maybe that's a little bit weird for you. But I'm like, I would watch porn if they're, you know, a Black person, a white, Hispanic, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. But like, when people say that, I'm just like, I'm like, my beauty doesn't take away from somebody else's beauty. Like, yeah. Just because I love, like, people sometimes are like, oh, you're dating somebody that's different ethnicity. I'm like, I'm obsessed with myself. I love the way I look, but I'm also like people different from me too. I think they're like beautiful and I love things that are different from me. So
yeah, absolutely.
There's room for it all.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that as you know, if you're a white woman and you feel threatened by black women celebrating their heritage, their beauty, their, you know, like you really need to do some inner work. You really need to do some deep self-reflection and realize how inherent that is in your white supremacy and the way that you uphold white supremacy. So if you feel threatened by black women and talking about black girl magic and everything, go take a hard look at yourself and maybe stop talking for a little bit. I mean, come on. Like that is just, but that's the thing is like white people are so threatened by Black Lives Matter because they think, well, what about us? What about all lives? What about white lives? It's like, but that's what it is. It's the same thing. It's that white supremacist toxic culture of, and you can also tie it into like the American thing of individualism and all of that. But it's definitely, it's that white supremacist culture of being like, no, white is superior because that's what we're taught, you know? So when people are threatened by that, I just go, wow, you clearly have some issues you need to work on.
Yeah. I'm like there. And I think that's one of the reasons why, like when segregation first came about, I think at first, you know, white supremacists were like, we don't want these motherfuckers in our shit. Like, let them go off and do their own thing. But then they had certain black areas starting to thrive. They had black people really stepping into like, I mean, I'm not for segregation at all, but I'm just saying they had black people starting to like accept themselves and be like, you know what? I'm wearing an afro to work. I can do all that. And they were like, wait, hold on. These people are getting empowered. We don't want that type of competition. Bring them in and tell them they have to assimilate. Mm-hmm. They got to have their hair a certain way. They can't do braids. They can't do this. They got to act. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that type of energy came about and they don't want black people feeling too empowered, because the thing with white supremacists that have been here since slavery days, like, and they're, you know, the white people that are tied to that and also black people that are tied to that, you know, like Native American people, we're not going anywhere. It's not like, you know, the other people that are part of the Model Minority Act, where they have them come over here, but they can also go back home. Like how they're always like, go back to Africa. It's like, bitch, go back to Europe. What are you talking about? Where are you going? We're so far removed from that. So I'm like,
well, I think it's funny when people say that too, because I'm like, don't you guys realize that Africa was like, every human being comes from Africa at some point? Like, hello. Yeah. Like, we're all, that ties back to our discussion about Eve being black, is like the first like maternal line was probably from a black woman. So like when you say go back to Africa, you just sound fucking stupid.
You sound fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But to even say that shit, when it's like, if I told you to go back to Europe, would you be able to adapt? That's not your home. You've been,
right.
We've all been here for so long. And that's the same with black people. They can't go back to, just like you, like, you know, white supremacists say on that they can't go back to fucking, you know, France, even if that's in their bloodline. They can, but they're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, this isn't my home. Like,
yeah.
nobody's leaving. This place is just as much as ours as well. So I'm just like, stop with the bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then you tell them you need to take a course in maybe some anthropology, maybe some biology, maybe some, maybe learn about how genetics work, huh?
Yeah. It's serious.
Let's talk about that.
No, we have so many ignorant people though. It's disheartening. And I feel like it's, you know, at first society wanted people a little ignorant because they then could control the narrative.
Oh, no question.
And control like the learning curve, like what do we want them to know? But now it's so funny because in the age of the media, in the age of social media, they don't have any control anymore. And then we have the people making, putting fake shit into the, on social media and on, you know what I mean? They're, they're steering the narrative in crazy directions. So now it's like, fuck, like, what did we do?
It's like, it's like this age of information, but it's also this age of overload. And like, I think you talked about recently, or like, I don't know if it was in an episode or we were just having a conversation about how more people need to start thinking critically. And that kind of ties into, you know, all the conspiracy theories that are going on right now too. I'm not going to get into it because it's such a fucking dark rabbit hole, but that's the thing is that I was reading something, unless I don't know if we were talking about it, but it said that when things are really uncertain, you know, like they are right now, people tend to cling to these crazy conspiracy theories because it makes them feel in control. And I get that to a certain level, but the way it's gotten so out of control, and then we have a president who continues to perpetuate these narratives and these conspiracy theories, and is a part of a lot of them, you know, it just kind of makes all the stupid brainwashed people who feel like they have no control over their lives or what's going on, it makes them feel validated. So then they start thinking like, oh, well, we're actually talking about, what we're talking about is the truth and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I just need people to not only on Instagram, when you repost, I don't care if it's right wing, left wing, whatever the fuck, check your sources, please. Check your sources and just fact check. And I just kind of want to like put this out there because not a lot of people are fact checking, even the seemingly liberal stuff too. Like it's on each side, it's on each, you know, whatever you affiliate, whatever group you affiliate with, I don't care. Just fucking fact check, please. And just start thinking critically, like you say, you know, because we don't have a lot of that right now. And it's pissing me off.
we definitely don't. And I did say, I think I was saying this to somebody I knew, because they're just like, there's somebody else who I just think they have a low IQ as it is. And then got like, I was having a conversation losing brain cells. And I'm just like, she kept being like, I'm a free thinker. I'm a free thinker. And I'm like, sweetie, free thinking should be followed up by critical thinking. And if you do not follow it up with critical thinking, then that is dangerous. If you just read a history book or look into history on, it doesn't matter where or what place, you can see how dangerous that can be. If you're just sprouting, especially if you have a big following or people look up to you, if you're just sprouting out rhetoric and calling yourself a free thinker and just saying whatever, blah, 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 you know, just quacking shit out. You know, it's fine to brainstorm. It's fine to free think, but you have to, you know, especially you have a responsibility when people are looking towards you to actually then do some critical thinking after that to see if what you're thinking even makes sense, how you came up with that, you know, look at what supports it, what doesn't support it. But people don't understand what a source is either.
They don't.
I'm telling you, I've seen people on some of these fucking channels on social media watching, like I saw a guy in a video talking about he was with the CIA and he was saying he was in his car and he was like, I'm at the park saving children, they're underneath the ground at Central Park. He's like it's scary, they're coming up and they're not, I mean this thing had like a million views, okay? First of all, anybody on the CIA would not be on YouTube telling you that.
Yeah.
They
think critically, people.
Yes, I can't. I was like, wow. Like, I was so disturbed by how many times this thing was shared. I was like, I couldn't even fathom that people thought this was even real. And then it was cracking me up. Some of the people commenting on it, their location, I looked, was in New York. Bitch, go out there and look yourself. You're right there. Okay,
that's the thing is that stop following, you know, all these weird conspiracy theory pages. And I'm seeing it in spiritual work too, and I'm seeing it all over the web. I'm seeing it in meme pages. Like, stop following these memes and taking that shit as fact, because it's not, because most of the time it's somebody's opinion or it's a fucking joke that you're taking seriously. So like, enough with that. Like you said, check your sources, go find out for yourself. Like, it's really not that hard. Go to, oh my God, like honestly. And I do want to reiterate, again, I don't want to get into all the conspiracy theories of it because it's fucking annoying, but I want to reiterate, if you care about Save the Children and you have not spoken up about Black Lives Matter and you have not spoken up about COVID-19 and how that disproportionately affects Black and brown people of color, please do not act like you are a fucking activist if you don't care about all of these other issues too. Because if you only care about Save the Children and you're not caring about any of the other issues that are going on right now, you're a fucking racist. That's all I have to say. But, and I had to say it because it's pissing me off so much where I'm seeing these people speak out about child trafficking and stuff, but you're not talking about anything else. We see you, we know who you are, and you're a racist. Okay. That's it. Sorry. I didn't mean to get real heated about it, but I'm so sick of seeing all these pages about Save the Children, blah, blah, blah. That's great. That's so great. But if you're not speaking about all the other things that are going on right now, what are you doing?
Yeah. And you know what? I'm so sick of people when somebody says Black Lives Matter and then they're like, what about the children? Bitch, speak up about all of it. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't need you to say, what about this? Yes.
Well, that's a form of gaslighting.
I
know what you mean. It's a form of gaslighting because it's the same thing of when you say Black Lives Matter and they go, well, what about white lives? Or they say, well, you talk about Black Lives Matter or something else and they go, well, what about trans lives? Well, we're talking about all of it, but stop taking away from one thing or another thing. We're talking about all of it, but I'm just saying that if you're talking and focusing on just Save the Children and not anything else, I'm sorry, but you're racist. If you're not talking about COVID-19, and it all ties into the conspiracy theories and this continued this perpetuity that everybody's getting involved in, I'm just tired of it. Again, just check your sources, please. I beg you.
I know. We've got to do better, especially in the age of media and the age of information. We have to do better with, and especially before we share something or talk about something, to just look into it and just know what, because I even seen, just to bring her up really quickly, I can't say her name right, Komala.
Kamala.
Sorry.
Let's talk about her a little bit before
never gonna
we wrap
say
up.
Fucking right. Because I already said it wrong the first time. So, okay, Kamala. Yeah, I know that some people don't like her past. And of course, we're going to be way more critical on a minority than we are Pence or fucking Trump, who have fucking horrific passes too. But like, let's not. But I see like so many memes going around of her right now, and some of this stuff is not 100%. It's not accurate. Like, yes, was she one of my friends lived in San Francisco when she was a prosecutor, and he talks about that she was harsh, but there's stuff going around like she's locked up more Black men than anybody in the world. Like, it's just not true at all. And of course, like, it's just sad that I see so much of the Black community just like, actually, I mean, it's so funny how much of the Black community will actually sit here and forgive OJ for killing or deny his killing.
Ooh, yeah.
And even though OJ denies being Black, as soon as he made money, because as I told you, white supremacists want you to think they push this ideology after slavery ended that, well, especially after segregation even more, that you can, like, being Black is kind of like a fluid thing, like, because they consider it the way you act, the way you look. If you switch up your look a little bit, you start maybe talking a certain way, or then you're no longer Black and we're going to accept you in. You're a good Black, you know, or whatever that fucking case may be, which is fucking, you know, not true. There are tons of different Black people, by the way. So let's stop with the rhetoric of this person is not Black enough. Because I'm pretty much sick of it.
I hear you.
And that is an ideal that white supremacists wanted you to believe. Mm-hmm. And people are still pushing it even in the Black community. And I don't even think they know why they're pushing that and why they feel that way. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely more forgiving of white supremacists acting a certain way than, you know, than we are of a Black person, especially a Black woman. But OJ was like, I'm not Black, I'm OJ. He didn't even want his Black attorney. He didn't even want that Black attorney on his case because he was Black and he didn't want to be associated with Black people.
Right.
It was Sharpio that fought for that. And it is the Black attorney, Johnny Cochran, that won his case for him. Mm-hmm. Out of all the people, it was the Black attorney. And the Black attorney still loved OJ, even though he knew he didn't love Black people. Mm-hmm. And so does the whole community, because he is a Black man. But a Black woman, like, she made some mistakes. Like, we can have fucking Kanye running around with his Trump hat on talking about he's a superhero. And we're like, oh, you know, he made a mistake. But, you know, I'm not, my thing is, I don't think Kamala, I don't think she's definitely not my first choice by any means necessary. But, you know, I think that this pairing is better than Trump for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want us to all hold them to, I want us to put the fire under their asses if they do get in office. But I also want people to stop complaining once it's down to two options, when you haven't fucking done shit, when Bernie was running and all these other motherfuckers, where were you? Sleep. And you don't do anything when it comes to voting for governors, senators, judges.
For local,
what are you doing? No, you're in there guessing who to choose. You don't even know. You're
not educating yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, at the end of the day, stop complaining about shit and you have no resolution and you have nothing to add to the conversation. Cause I'm like, what's your ideas then to move forward? I ain't got nothing. Fucking do you. You know what, dumbass?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I want to bring up too, is like, we can hold her accountable and bring up the fact that she called herself the top cop of California in the middle of 100%. An uprising against police brutality. We're going to bring that up. We're going to hold her accountable. We're going to hold Biden accountable. He created the crime bill. We're going to hold everybody accountable, but stop criticizing Black women more than you criticize Trump. You know what I mean? Like, that's just mainstream society for you. I'm obviously going to bring up the fact that she called herself top cop. And I'm also going to bring up the fact that, yes, I did vote her into Senate because I thought that she was the most worthy candidate. But, you know, at the same time, we can talk about the fact that we only have these two options right now because that's what they're giving us. But then let's also think critically. Hey, think critically. And let's talk about what we're going to do in the future. Let's talk about breaking down the two-party system. Let's talk about, you know, third parties, and let's talk about how we got to stop with this Democrats versus Republicans, and we got to start looking at people for their morals and for their platforms and not for their fucking party affiliations, okay? Yeah. Like, we got to talk about how Democrats only offer us the bare minimum, meaning Biden and Harris, the people that we didn't necessarily want, but we got to talk about it all, okay? Like, Democrats are not superheroes. They're not this great party that everybody wants to see them as, but unfortunately they're giving us the basic option right now and we have to go with that. But like I said, think critically, talk about the two-party system and how that fucking sucks. Talk about the Electoral College and how that doesn't fucking work for us and is based in white supremacy as well. Let's talk about getting through this first, and then we'll go forward, and then we'll talk about how the system itself needs to change.
100%. And I would like to see the next, when we're running again for, when there's people running again for office, I want to see people stepping up. I don't want it to get to the point where people feel like, oh, the lesser of two evils. Like, I don't want people feeling that way. But also that requires everybody doing their part. And especially on the level of when it comes to like, your councilman, your governor, your mayor, you know, vote for these things. Understand what's happening. Listen, you know, you have to be involved. And I especially want to say this, especially to the Black community, because I see so many, when I look online or just people I've had conversations with, they're like, oh, nothing's going to change. Nobody cares about it. Like, I mean, that thought process, I always say this to people, if your ancestors thought like that, like, we wouldn't even be this far. Mm-hmm. Like, not even just your ancestors. There's been other allies that we've had, whether they be, you know, white allies or whatever. And they saw a bit. It's obviously the visionaries' jobs, like people that are visionaries. It's, you know, that's why our voices are needed, because people can't see past their current situation.
Yeah. At all.
They can't do it. And that's why I'm so passionate. And I have, like, sometimes my mom is like, why are you always, and I'm like, because that's what I need my life to mean something. And it's important for me to have this voice and to put my vision out there for society, for people, even if it's just on a lower level. Sometimes my visions are really big, sometimes they're small, but it's important because people can't see past the little box that they're in so much of the time. Like, and even if I don't get to them right then, like, somebody else I might get to, and eventually those people usually do come back to me and say something. So
exactly,
I'm always gonna, you have, the visionaries have to speak up right now. It's very important during this decade for visionaries to fucking share their vision and And also make sure it's a realistic vision, because as visionaries, your ideas can be too big where they're not achievable, mm-hmm. but you have to, once you think of something realistic for society.
Yeah.
and then share it. So critically think after you come up with that vision. Yeah.
I love that. I love that so much. I think that's a really great place to wrap up too. I kind of want to end there on, you know, yeah, we are, I believe you and I are here because we're visionaries. You know, I've started calling myself that because I started thinking about it in that way. And that goes back to signaling to the universe. Like, if you start calling yourself a certain thing, you're going to be that thing. And I truly believe that, you know, not to toot our own horns, but Leo Venus here. but I do believe that in us speaking our truth and us starting this podcast and us becoming friends, I feel like I say this all the time, that we're here for a reason. We're here to speak our truth. You're here to speak your truth. You know, and I think that's what this is all about.
Yeah, 100%. This is an important time for, you know, visionaries' voices to be heard, because the people need to be able to start. We encourage people not to use their imagination, and we're here mm-hmm. to remind people that they need to use it, because there can be a better world. And if not only just, and if we can't achieve a lot of it our lifetime, if we keep pushing that, it'll be for the next people's lifetime. We want things to like get better for all humans, humankind, humanity, like to just step up, like people to step into their humanity. So it's important to push that vision of a better world, even though some people, because we got a lot of cynical people walking around, which is, I mean, I get it, like, but we're here to get you out of the rut.
I'm a Virgo. I'm cynical too. I have that side to me and I get it, but it's all about having that balance.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great place to end. We covered a lot.
I know. Jesus.
We'll definitely be back for a Bravo recap soon, maybe sometime next week. And as always, subscribe to us, leave us reviews, follow us on Instagram. Yeah, we're on Spotify now, you guys, if you haven't heard. So tell your friends who may not have an iPhone, we're not just on Apple anymore. Share us with your mom, your dad, your brother, your racist uncle.
I would love to talk to your racist uncle. If you have, email us, hit us up on social media. We like to interact, and if you want us to talk about something or whatever, just, you know, give us your feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. Until next time, we're the Booze Witches. See you next time.
Bye.